Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? Dino Rogovic says, why am I the only man with enough testosterone to leave the first comment? Get up and dance, everybody. Good morning, all. I didn't know there was a link between testosterone and being the first to comment. I'm glad that you're doing well. Frog Eyes says, JFLFG. Looking for girl? What does LFG mean? Hello, how are you doing? There's many news. Trump will be running for 2024. I don't know if it's a good news. Trump running for 2024 keeps us in the past, keeps us with a man who fails on vaccines, fails on the Israel question. It sucks that Trump is attached and that so much of the Republican base is attached to a sense of nostalgia related to Trump times. Yes, the Trump times were better than current times, economically, but we weren't making the advances that we needed to make as the right. And so it sucks that Trump will present himself. I think it could have facilitated the Republican Party moving forward in the future to not have Trump as even an option. We're going to be back to internal wars. There's going to be the Mike Pence crew that says, oh, Trump, Mike Pence was saying Trump doesn't have the right kind of leadership. He's too confrontational. It's not the problem with Trump. The problem with Trump is that he's confrontational with the elite, but he is part of the elite, and he acts in every way like a centrist Democrat at the head of the Republican Party. DK Shadow says, Trump is a speed bump at best. Yes, DeSantis would be nice, but is the base of the Republican Party capable of saying no to Trump? That is the question when the vote happens. Another news that just came out is that the Republicans have won the House of Representatives. They have the majority at 218. Now they're just beating the majority by one. They attained the majority by one right now. So we'll see if there's more to add, but it will be a very, very tight majority. And as far as I'm concerned, there won't be anything that this changes. This just means that there will be a little more blockade of the far left stuff, which anyway was blocked from within the Democrat Party. But there are plenty of Republicans, I'm sure, who will be happy to vote with the Democrats to increase the size of the state, increase payments to Ukraine. So basically, the Republican Party is not distinguished enough as a whole from the Democrat, although there are individual politicians that make sense in the Republican Party. The whole party is not distinguished enough that this will allow us to stop money flows toward Ukraine, that this would allow us to stop anything, really. So we're going to get the same type of management we've had for the last 2 years. Frog Eyes says, JF, please review today's Vox article on SBF. Okay, let me put it, but first I want to comment on Jon Stewart because it's more important. Vox Day blog. How do I find this? Vox Day. Vox Populi. Okay. And now I have to find the post about SBF. SBF. A control F for SBF has not resulted in anything. FTX does not result in anything. You're gonna have to send me a link or something. Maybe if I search Bankman. I'm sorry, bro. I don't find anything. How can I readily find it? Put the link to the post that you're talking about in the chat. It's certainly, I don't find anything related to this on the first page, so send it to me. And then anyways, I wanted to talk about this later because we have to talk about, there is an enlightenment that is happening on the question of Jews in America. and there is an awakening, and at this point even the Jews themselves are hesitating at keeping this crushing tyranny of censorship and ignorance and not engaging with the debate. And we have here a John Stewart, who many people are warning me against John Stewart, and they're telling me, JF, careful, he's subversive, he's doing this because he wants to build the bridges with the black community to attack the white community. Okay, I'm willing to take all precautions necessary, but it is good that someone like John Stewart is out there saying to the Jews and to the rest of America, look, we can't maintain the current system of calling people anti-Semite and not engaging with what they say, because it makes us look like we're denying reality, and we are denying reality. And so let's engage on the facts. It's a 12-minute video. Let's play it all, because each moment of this is a critical moment. Okay, so Valet has sent me the link to Vox Day. Thank you. I'll keep it for later. John Stewart, of course, goes slow. He goes slow, and he takes the leftists by the hand here. He gives them a lot of food. But he's confronting them with a reality that ultimately they can't avoid. So that's why I'm interested in this video. Absolutely wonderful.
Why are they leaving?
Hey, everybody, we're back here with the host of The Problem with Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart. I want to talk to you about something. You and I had a fascinating conversation last week. It was actually, I think it was the day after the election. I think it was Wednesday, because I called you up on the drive-in to go, hey, how about that last night? Not what we thought. Like, wasn't a rising tide of fascism. Perhaps the tide wasn't as fast as we thought.
A rising tide of fascism. These guys are deluded. All leftists are deluded right now. And they are deluded in a way that is helping them. That's too bad, really, because their delusions is triggering the right strategic outcome. That's really sad.
Kind of nice, everything, but gotta say, though, not great to see a lot of sort of updrafting of some, you know, casual anti-Semitism or some sort of old kind of Kabbalistic conspiracy theories out there.
The Jews,
and you were like,
Jews are... So last week, it was after there was the Kanye situation, and then obviously the Kyrie situation. And after the Kyrie situation, Kyrie Irving, on Twitter was trending, the Jews. It was just the words, the Jews, trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so it was bittersweet. Because it's always nice to trend on Twitter. I mean, that.
It's always nice to trend on Twitter.
It's never bad.
Never bad, but it's never. I knew that if I.
Shel Burns says, not like Papa JF to be so late. So late on what? This video? This video has been. I'm not late. I'm live. Maybe it's someone who somehow isn't receiving the show. Anyways, yes, do connect. This video has been published 10 hours ago, so I'm not late on analyzing this video.
I checked it. It wasn't going to be like, the Jews bought everyone ice cream. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be.
Yes. The Jews, ABC's new hit sitcom.
That's right.
And so he sees the Twitter trend of the Jews, and he's suspecting that somehow it must be negative. That's interesting, Jon Stewart, isn't it? That you, like, if I saw a Twitter trend that talks about my ethnicity, white people, dot, 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 I wouldn't assume that it's something negative. I might actually think that it's positive. I might think, oh, maybe it's white people discussing white people's IQ. Maybe it's people discussing white people build civilizations that are great to live in. It's quite interesting that you have been so triggered to your own ethnicity being named that you expect negative stuff just seeing the label of your ethnicity.
But because it was Kyrie and it was about the Nets, the Jews was trending under sports, which for us, nice.
That's a win.
Never happened before.
Yeah. Sandy Koufax and then this.
Sandy Koufax, then it was like 50 years, and then this trended. It's, look, I'm, you know, as our spokes-Jew, and we hear you, the people out there, and we know, you know, the power and control that the Jews have collectively, because that's how we wield it.
Sure.
Very interesting here, because he's admitting a truth. He's making it pass for the leftist audience as a joke. But he's saying we are wielding power collectively. That is his admission here. I mean, who could deny this? You guys are writing articles about white supremacists, then you're quoting the articles, then you're having editors on Wikipedia quote the article that said this guy is a white supremacist, then you invite each other on podcasts in which they say, oh, look at his Wikipedia page, it says that this journal has said that he's a white supremacist. On a single hit piece on someone like me, there's 10 Jews at least that I can count that are operating in the chain from taking the original lie to amplifying it to promoting it to other people. So, yes, you wield power collectively.
It's all unanimous decision.
Correct. I'm not on all the committees, but... and I don't know who ended Kanye's Adidas deal. That wasn't my committee. I'm on oil prices and bagel flavors. I do bagel flavors. By the way,
it's good. He is passing it as humor, but he still has stated we are wielding power collectively. Now the rest, the idea that they would control price oils and bagel is meant as humor. But there is a lot of pricing, especially in the pharmaceutical sector, that is under Jewish control.
By the way, and I say this to all you out there.
And I'm saying the pharmaceutical sector because it's highly relevant to the scam that has been run onto Western government in the last few years on COVID, where basically the governments have been shamed into buying stuff that the market wouldn't have wanted of. Masks, vaccines, things that people would not have adhered to as much as they did if it wasn't that their government bought it for them.
Enjoy bagels. Blueberry was a rogue committee. That was not us. I don't know where that came from. Mm-hmm. But in terms of controlling, obviously, the world, sorry. It's my hope in my lifetime, and we hear this.
So here he is going to build this into a false apology. Aerospace says this humor isn't even funny. Well, I would agree that there are some elements that are funny. There are some elements that are meant for a leftist brain to find funny. But importantly, after this bout of humor, there will be real admission and real discussion. But let's go through it because I wanted to show you the whole context where these admissions will come. So here he says, I'm sorry. Now he's going to build toward, oh yeah, this apology is a fake apology. I'm just joking.
But it is my sincere hope that in my lifetime, I do get to see a Christian president. I think America's ready for it. To see a president stand up and swear in, maybe on, and I say this with no regret, on a Bible.
So here he is pushing an extremely fallacious view through humor. It's a fallacy hidden in humor here, but I will still hold him to the fallacy because humor is meant to pass messages, and here his message is, it is absurd to believe that Jews have control of America, given that all presidents of the past, or a large fraction of them, were Christians, and the system that they have to swear on the Bible shows that this country is fundamentally a Christian country. That is a thing that you will hear leftists say, And the problem is that it's Truman's, the view of people on my side. We are not saying that the president is Jewish. We are saying that the president is overly influenced by Jewish people in an unfair, in a way that is overrepresentative of Jewish concerns, and that they have a penetration within important institutions like the Supreme Court, the media, and the banks, the finance sector, the pharmaceuticals, and the warmongering, especially pushing for warmongering in the media. They are overrepresented in irrealistic ways, ways that create a balance of power that is unfair and that is not at the service of the American people. That is what we say. We don't say, oh yeah, all presidents have been Jews. To the contrary. The problem is that we can't have a single Christian president that is truly listening to the concerns of the Christian people of America. All we have are presidents that display a concern and that then take all of their actions and all of their money flow toward a minority, the Jews in America, including the involvement in all Middle Eastern wars for the last few decades, for which billions and trillions of dollars have been invested, all of it at the service of someone else than the Christian people of America. That is a much bigger problem. If it was just that the president is always a Jew, that would be an easy problem to solve. See, we could just vote for someone else. But the problem is we can't vote for someone else. The networks of funding that are ethnocentric in nature in America have taken over the two sides of politics. So we don't even get to have a choice. We don't even get to have an out of this system where apparently every single president of the U.S. since 1940 has been more concerned for Jewish elites than for the people of America. That's the problem, and it's a much harder problem to solve.
Jews have controlled it for too long. And so it
very
would...
big of you.
You did. It's a problem.
It would be our honor to allow you one four-year term.
How about you allow us a system of politics that is not dependent on support by the Jewish community? How about you don't write hit pieces about any politician that is not supported by the ADL and AIPAC? That's what we want. How about you don't coordinate all activities across your community so as to crush any rise of anyone who would not be, for example, for sending money to Israel or sending military support toward Israel? That's what we want. We don't want a Christian president.
Just, it's really fascinating. First of all, the Kanye thing, I think everybody, he can be erratic and he says things, and that didn't surprise me. The Kyrie thing surprised me a bit. You don't expect to get it from someone named Irving.
So here is a little joke that seeds something interesting. Why is this joke funny? This joke is deeply racial in its meaning. He says, you wouldn't expect it to come from someone named Irving, suggesting that Irving would be a Jewish name, suggesting that you would have expected him to be an ally. But what is the joke here? Why is it funny? It's funny because Kyrie Irving is a black basketball player. I think basketball, right? I believe that what is funny here is that he's suggesting that he would have been wrong to assume that Irving would have been on his side because he's black, because a black cannot be Jewish. People are saying he's referring to David Irving. Oh, that's another interpretation. It's possible. Then it would be just a wink to, well, David Irving has been doing that kind of statements before, so he would expect that way. Okay, that might be the interpretation. Personally, the way I interpreted this joke is that he was implying that Kyrie Irving couldn't possibly be a Jew because he's black. Personally, maybe that's the more intense interpretation of what he said, but that's how I understood it.
Really thought he was one of ours.
Well.
Now he says, I really thought he was one of ours. This is what led me to believe the whole, he's making a joke about black people cannot be Jews. To me, that was the signification. But you guys have interpreted it as a reference to David Irving. That's totally a fair representation also. It could be that. I don't know what was in the head of John Stewart here. Vedet says, referencing David Irving might be too abstract, but definitely our guys would think that, lol. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell what was the intent of John Stewart behind that joke. Perhaps it was one of those jokes with two possible interpretations. Personally, I've interpreted it as, look at how funny I am. I believed for a moment that a black man was a Jew. And look at how bad I am at telling who's a Jew and who's not. I thought that was the joke. Which would have been pretty funny, too.
No, you're very generous. You're very generous, I gotta say.
Thank you. And there's a lot everybody wants to say now. Now, everybody obviously calls me and say, like, did you see Dave on SNL? And I'm like, yes, we're very good friends. I always watch and send nice texts. He normalized anti-Semitism with the monologue. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if you've been on comment section.
Yeah, Crazy Catman says Irving isn't a Jewish name. Yeah, we would have to check because I've never heard of Irving being a particularly Jewish name, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not aware of this, but it's true that it would be an element needed for the joke to work. Now he moves to Kanye, and that becomes interesting.
Sections on most news articles, but it's pretty normal. Like, anti-Semitism, I mean, as you know, it's...
And he says, anti-Semitism has been normalized. So what the fuck are you guys talking about, normalizing anti-Semitism? It's already very much spread onto the internet.
It's incredibly normal. But the one thing I will say is, I don't believe that censorship and penalties are the way to end anti-Semitism or to not gain understanding. I don't believe in that. And I think it's the wrong way for us to approach it. Kyrie Irving, they suspended him from playing basketball. If you want to punish this man, send him to the Knicks. I think that would be...
Very interesting. He's not for punishment. So he's going to appeal to... Let's listen to what is being said here and let's engage on factual debate.
Because I look at it like this. Anti-Semitic? Perhaps. But he can create his own shot. And that's what we're looking for. No, but in all seriousness, you know, penalizing somebody for having a thought, I don't think is the way to change their minds or gain understanding. This is a grown-ass man. And the idea that you would say to him, we're going to put you in a timeout. You have to sit in the corner and stare at the wall until you no longer believe that the Jews control the international banking system. Like, we have...
That is very interesting. He calls for an end to punishment. So we would be in a, if we can move forward with John Stewart's proposition, we would be in a society where Jews can be equally debated, that you won't have a particularly harsh attack on your career, on your bank account. They can be equally criticized to any other group. That would be a very desirable end, which is why I'm saying this clip is important. It's very important. What John Stewart has been doing there.
We have to get past this in the country, the ability to... Look, people think this. People think Jews control Hollywood. People think Jews control the banks. And to pretend that they don't, and to not deal with it in a straightforward manner, we will never gain any kind of understanding with each other.
Well, what do you imagine a more straightforward?
Absolutely beautiful. Because he's not engaging on, is it true? Is it true that the Jews control this or that? He's only on, hey, let's stop avoiding the question here. Let's confront this question. Is it true? And if it's true, then say it is true. If it's not true, then we can debate back with facts and arguments. But it is innovative. I mean, for people of this community, this may not sound very fascinating. It's like, okay, this basically Jon Stewart is calling for the same thing I've been calling for forever, which is, if it's true, engage on the facts. Don't insult, don't write a hit piece, don't try to cancel, don't close the bank account of the person. Argue with the facts. But it is quite innovative to be hearing this on Late Night with Stephen Colbert.
For manner would be, because people have the right to say whatever they want. I've said that, you know, also any comic has a right to say anything
sure.
they want, and they'll probably find an audience for that. Mm-hmm. And that's been borne out the last few years.
Right.
But so what is the response? What is the response? So, because people have the right to have a negative reaction to what people say on stage. I've gotten it a million times. You've gotten it a million times.
Sure, absolutely.
So what do you imagine a response is to something if people perceive anti-Semitism in someone's what Kyrie Irving posts
right.
or what Kanye says or what Dave said on Saturday night, what do you think a good response
would be?
First of
all, I think just reflexively naming things anti-Semitism is as reductive as some of the things that they might be saying. It immediately shuts down a conversation.
I would say...
Absolutely beautiful. Because one of the big problems of this debate, the reason this debate is not happening in America is because the word anti-Semitism can just be dropped on the debate table. And the debate is over. It's like, oh, you're anti-Semitic. Of course, one of the memes on the right, one of the memes on Gab is, notice how they call us anti-Semite, but they don't call us liars. And that points to a deficit here. There is a debate deficit where the debate cannot even happen, because if your opinion gets labeled as anti-Semite, it is just barred from any sort of rational consideration. There is kind of a filter in people's mind. It cannot be true because it's anti-Semitic. But that is a problem. That is a problem because who knows what the truth is if we can't debate it? If someone loses the debate by merely being labeled something, how can we get to the truth? And what if the truth happens to contain some of the things that you would call anti-Semitic or that you would call tropes? Men Animal says, all false. Just say people are allowed to talk about anything while you actively destroy the ones who say your behavior proves the opposite. I don't know exactly if it's meant for Jon Stewart. I know that much of his statement here is very much in line with the left and very much in line with an anti-racist view. But I still think that he's bringing elements that will make the left, if leftists listen to him, they would evolve, they would move forward. And perhaps we would have a future in which we can finally have this debate.
The people said that they perceived a promulgation of, even if with a comedic intention, a promulgation of anti-Semitic tropes. That doesn't mean the person is an anti-Semite.
Comedy is reductive, and I think...
But that's a problem. It's a problem that because something is a trope, we can talk about it. Because think about it, a trope could be right, a trope could be wrong. And so saying that something is a trope doesn't save you from having to demonstrate that it's false if you want to treat it as false. There's a bunch of tropes, so-called tropes, that are simply scientifically demonstrated. If you have a trope that says women tend to be less strong physically than men, that is absolutely true. It's a trope also, but a trope can be correct.
I think part of what it is we play with tropes because everyone has prejudice in their lives.
But it's not just prejudice, John. It is also facts. It is also reality as a prejudice. reality as a trope about women, and it's that they will have less muscle mass than men. And it's true a large fraction of the time, very large.
And in the way that they view things. And comics rely on those prejudices as a shorthand for our material. Even the wokest of comics plays with tropes to a certain extent. But my point is, the most interesting thing to come out of this, in my mind, was something Kanye said on his tour that he was doing after he said that, and then he got interviewed by five, you know, different people because the media model is arson and conflict. He said something fascinating in my mind. He said, hurt people hurt people. And if the point of all this is then to heal people, the only way to heal a wound is to open it up and cleanse it. And that stings. That hurts. But you have to expose it to air. And I'm afraid that the general tenor of conversation in this country is cover it up, bury it, put it to the outskirts, and don't deal with it. And what I would say is, you know...
Absolutely beautiful. That is the problem. We have an entire network of agents that are keeping people from talking about election fraud, keeping people from talking about COVID-related stuff, and keeping people from talking about the question of Jewish power in America.
Look at it from a Black perspective. It's...
Now, he's going to be doing a play here that is excellent for the leftist brain. He's going to be bringing it from a Black perspective. And it's like, at this point, when you raise this word, Black perspective, the leftist has to listen. It's like, let's forget about white people, white anti-Semites for a moment. Consider a Black person who has experienced oppression, who has felt that he was oppressed. Now, consider that this person may have perceived the Jewish community to have oppressed him.
A culture that feels that its wealth has been extracted by different groups, whites, Jews, things. Whether it's true or not isn't the issue. That's the feeling in that community. And if you don't understand that that's where it's coming from, then you can't deal with it and you can't sit down with them and explain that being in an industry isn't the same as having a nefarious and controlling interest in that industry and intention, right? And that's been the anti-Semitic trope. But you need to be able to meet people from what their community is feeling as well.
So in terms of...
Beautiful, beautiful. In the end, the Blacks talking about this issue somehow is going to be what opens it up for everyone one day. I'm totally for this. I'm totally for considering on a point question here, on a single question, the Black community to be our ally here, because they are bringing a perspective that the leftists have much more difficulty dismissing. Master Slave says, now watch some of these interracial Black male / white female commercials and pornography. Well, you know, you can put this on the back of other people, but I don't know that Jon Stewart is pushing for that kind of stuff. Doubting Thomas says, JF, will you cover in the moral signal the nuances of how agents should navigate signals in a complexly layered system, such as plot devices in Inception and words / arguments in our world at the same time? It's very interesting. I've thought about things along this line, but I couldn't say that I have a part on this yet. Layered systems, certainly it's worth thinking how I could adjust my book to how does it play out in a layered system. But yeah, it is quite interesting to consider. When you make a story, you include a character. This character might lie, so you have a layer of deception. This other character might know the truth, so he might know that it's a lie. Very interesting. I'll consider what I could add to the book to make it complete. Go Away says, JF, I had a friend who was an aspiring rapper who once told me that he wished he was born black. At the time, I thought it was a ridiculous statement. Okay, I will not read the rest of your joke. In fact, I will have to remove it. All right. Okay. The Vox article that people were talking about Sam Bankman-Fried, was not the Vox Day blog. It was really the Vox Media blog. Okay, so thank you for sending me the link. I will be commenting on this once I'm done with Jon Stewart's. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. It is the best way to help the show. Also, for those of you who are Subscribestar or Patreon subscribers at the $20 level, tomorrow will be our private hangout. This will be right after the regular show. Let's keep listening.
Dealing with it is same for the way you might be able to deal with it is to say, okay, let me try to understand why you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Let me try to deconstruct.
That's right.
With facts, why that is not the case.
That's right. But if you can't do that, if you're not allowed to say it, you know, Dave said something in the SNL monologue that I thought was instructive as well, which he says it shouldn't be this hard to talk about things. And that is what we're talking about. Look, I can't pretend that there aren't a ton of people in this country and this world who believe that the Jews have an unreasonable amount of control over the systems and they wield it as puppet masters. I'm called anti-Semitic because I'm against Israel's treatment of Palestinians. I'm called other things.
And why are you called that? It's because the very system that is oppressing us is also oppressing Jews when they deviate from the common narrative, which in itself is a demonstration that the people who have those beliefs that you say are beliefs, they are right to an extent. There is too much power. You shouldn't be called anti-Semitic because you have an opinion on how Israel treats the Palestinians. Mysterious Nation says, JF, are there any content creators / streamers that you consume for fun knowledge? For fun or knowledge? Honestly, I'm dissatisfied with everything that's out there. I used to be a consumer of Tim Pool. It has become extremely bland with the times. At this point, when I drive for 2-3 hours in my car, I don't even put on Tim Pool because Tim Pool is late on the news. I mean, Tim Pool has all this money and all these means and this big audience, and he can't be as quick on the news as Papa JF. He's often 24 hours late on his news. So I can't watch Tim Pool anymore. Too late, too bland. No positioning other than always trying to find the middle of everything, always not look too extremist. In a way, he's a product of the modern YouTube structure with Susan Wojcicki tightening the grip onto content creation. And he used to be relatively good. I mean, you could listen to Tim Pool for a couple of hours, whatever his latest videos were, and that was acceptable. It was a good background noise. At this point, I don't even tolerate it as a background noise. So as far as I'm concerned, as far as my brain is concerned, there is nothing out there that I can watch on a regular basis. Of course, I'll grab videos here and there. Someone sent me this Jon Stewart video. I watched it. But I don't have a content creator that I regularly go back to. Just not satisfying to me. There's no one who... And then you have people say, can I recommend Asha Logos? I don't know what he's up to. I've not been watching his stuff for a long time, but I had him on the show back in the days. He's a good guy, everything, but I can't watch this esoteric stuff. Like, people are like, JF, this is a true right winger. Listen to him. And it's like 2 hours of expounding onto the myth of Atlas and how the white man can resurrect as I don't give a shit about anything that's mythological, representative, symbolism. I'm a freaking artist. It's like it's torture to me, this stuff. Philosoraptor says, do you agree with the following statement? I think, therefore I am. Are normies like animals that act in large solely on instinct? So those two questions are absolutely unrelated. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know if you meant that they are related. So do I agree with I think, therefore I am? I think it is a sound reasoning. Yes, so I think that the cogito is right on target. You have to avoid letting this be your only truth. I think, therefore I am. A lot of people are taking this as, oh, therefore the world of ideas has precedence over the world outside of you. And a lot of people will take this down the line to, therefore, everything that I perceive from the world is false, and the only thing that I know to be true are my ideas. That is the wrong way to go. You don't want to let the cogito make you drop empiricism. That being said, I think, therefore I am, taken reasonably, is a true statement. If you experience thought, you are an entity that exists. And then he asks, are normies like animals that act in largely solely on instinct? Well, not just normies, everyone. Everyone acts based on the patterns in our brain, and those patterns have evolved, and there is some degree of variability in the population, but you're not, there's instinct. To label human behavior as instinctive is fallacious to begin with. There is no reason to label some things as coming from instinct and some things as coming not from instinct. All of it is behavior, human behavior, and it has degrees of complexities, and the things that you would call instinct also have degrees of complexity. Like the bird that flies, is it an instinct to fly or is it a decision to fly? There's nothing that differentiates between these two categories. So they are artificial categories that people use to quickly refer to a human bias of some kind.
From other people based on other opinions that I have. But those shut down debate. They're used as a cudgel. And whether it be comedy or discussion or anything else, if we don't have the wherewithal to meet each other with what's reality?
Black Tie suggests an alternative to the cogito. By the way, I keep loving what John Stewart is saying here. We must engage with reality. We cannot use the anti-Semite label anymore to shut down the discourse. And yes, he did use the word shut it down, DK Shadow. And that's beautiful because it's a meme of the internet. And here, John Stewart is making himself the broker between the ideas that have emerged on the internet in the last few years and the rest of the normie plex. Black Tie says, actually, the cogito should be an event has taken place, therefore something has existed. That is very interesting. It's a very interesting frame. Yeah, because the I think, therefore I am, suggests that the I is known and is a thing, whereas the I that experiences thinking might be separate from the I that exists. So very interesting. I like this alternative. I guess it comes from somewhere. I guess you were quoting from somewhere, but it's an interesting path, absolutely.
Then how do we move forward is my question. I don't enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. You know, when people I admire, whose music I like or things like that, come out and say, how many of you are in show? But, you know, here's the deal. We have our own tropes, like a white person's success is because of privilege. a minority's success.
Absolutely beautiful. He's taking the leftists by the hands here, saying, you have your own tropes. We have our own tropes. We treat white people terribly. Any success they have, we don't attribute merit to it. We say it's due to privilege. Any success that a black person has, he says, will be because of empowerment, and it will be celebrated.
Success is empowerment. A Jew's success, that's a conspiracy. You feel that. I feel that. But I have to be able to express that to people. If I can't say that's bull and explain why, then where do we go? And if we all just shut it down, then we retreat to our little corners of misinformation and it metastasizes.
He understands the current state of the internet. He understands the circle jerking that is developing around this question. It's absolutely beautiful that he has this degree of consciousness.
And the whole point of all this is to not let it metastasize and to get it out in the air and talk about it. Like I know you don't like Jews. I see it in your eyes.
Really, just one of you.
Bette Midler? No, I mean, the other side of it is, you know, look, if you don't want us around, write your own Broadway shows.
He ends with something that will please the leftist, the kind of empowered Jewish person who says, if you don't like it, make your own Broadway shows. I don't know that we need Broadway shows. I'd be absolutely happy if there weren't any of those. I will never go see one of this crap. But anyways, a very interesting take by Jon Stewart here, doing some pedagogy to the leftist in a way that I think could change the world. I think that we're seeing a massive shift in what will be allowed to be spoken in 5 years, 10 years from now. I think that the work of Kanye and then people like Jon Stewart, Dave Chappelle, it's getting us there. It's getting us there. Now, the system of oppression still exists. These people still will not come on my show or will not talk to David Duke or will not do a list of things that they would have to do for me to be satisfied that they are truthful in their statement. But the simple fact that Jon Stewart is considering these questions in that angle is very interesting to me. I think we are seeing a major shift. Now, not everything is rose about Jon Stewart. People were sending me this clip from No More News and Enric. They were commenting on past statements of Jon Stewart.
All right, here's more Jon Stewart clips. You may have not seen these. These are bad. This is the agenda. Ready?
He's brand new.
This is what, because the Jewish community and the black community, we should be together. Jews and blacks should we shouldn't fight. Well, there shouldn't be tension. Jews and blacks should get together and get whitey. I think.
Very interesting. I mean, we have to be careful with this guy. Not everything is perfect about him. And here he seems to be totally in line with the program of the Jewish and BLM alliance that is ultimately an anti-white alliance. And he does say, get whitey. So at other times, Jon Stewart seems like he may not be as much of a spokesperson for our interest as he seemed to be on Stephen Colbert. Someone was asking me earlier to comment on the Vox story about Sam Bankman-Fried. Okay, I didn't see this piece, so I will have to just read it. Sam Bankman-Fried tries to explain himself, the fallen crypto CEO, on what went wrong, why he did what he did, and what lies he told along the way. And this is very similar, it seems, at least in framing, to what was it? The New York Times, I believe, published a kind of cozy pro-SBF paper where they're like, they're making excuses for him. making excuses for what he did. someone sent me, okay, the ADL statement, unrelated. Last night, Sam Bankman-Fried DM'd me on Twitter. That was surprising. I had spoken to Bankman-Fried via Zoom earlier in the summer when I was working on a profile of him, so I reached out to him via DM on November 13 after news broke that his cryptocurrency exchange had collapsed, blah, blah, blah. Okay, under investigation by the SEC. Bankman-Fried, though, apparently wanted to talk about how FTX and his hedge fund, Alameda Research, had gambled with customer money without, he claims, realizing that's what they were doing. Oh, man. This is why I always say that this care about harmful intentions is unfit for humanity. Because people are able to self-deceive in so many ways that they will not end up intending the evil that they cause. See, here we have supposedly a mathematician from MIT who, oh yeah, we were taking the funds from FTX, we were risking it on Alameda Research, we were making these hedgy bets on the market, but that's what we were doing. But we didn't realize that's what we were doing. Oh my God, an MIT math degree and you don't realize that, hey, there's a reason why suddenly you have billions to invest on your risky bet with your girlfriend on Alameda Research. There's a reason, and the reason is that you are taking in deposits at FTX and you're making it bilateral. You're making the deposits at FTX be more valuable to Alameda Research because you're transferring some of the money just straight. And then you're also making some of the Alameda Research decisions more economically viable because you are cheating. You're doing insider trading where you're telling your girlfriend, buy these tokens, we will make them popular. Aquanote says, JF, mens rea is a bizarre concept. Yes. The fact that that he thinks this is a defense shows you that we have to stop caring about intentions altogether. Because the problem is no one intends the harm that they're doing. Some people are just so stupid they don't plan the violence that they can indeed cause. So fuck mens rea. It was past midnight Bahamas time where Bankman-Fried is reportedly still located, and we went back and forth on Twitter for more than an hour. He was, he said, still working to try to raise the funding needed to pay back all of his depositors. As we messaged, I was trying to make sense of what, behind the PR and the charitable donations and the lobbying, Bankman-Fried actually believes about what's right and what's wrong, and especially the ethics of what he did and the industry he worked in. Looming over our whole conversation was the fact that people who trusted him have lost their savings, and that he's done incalculable damage to everything he proclaimed only a few weeks ago to care about. The grief and pain he has caused is immense, blah, blah, blah. On regulators. SBF says, you said a lot of stuff about how you wanted to make regulations, just good ones. Was that pretty much just PR too? There's no one really out there making sure good things happen and bad things don't. Usually there's only one toggle, do more or do less. Yeah, just PR. Fuck regulators. They make everything worse. They don't protect customers at all. That's what these whistleblowers truly think in their heart. That's what you get to see when they're down in the sewers. It's like, oh yeah, I was bullshitting. Yeah, you know, when the Democrats were paying my my flights to go to Washington, D.C. and do all these speeches in front of politicians. Fuck them. They're useless. They make everything worse. I mean, I would love to hear the last whistleblowers, you know, these women that have come forward to say, oh, Facebook is bad. And do they think the same? And the guy, the supposed hacker, self-described hacker who keeps talking about regulating the social media space, what about him? Does he think the same as SBF in private? Go away, says JF. FTX depositors were just stakeholders in the democratic process and didn't realize it. That is a good one. That is a good one. So it does seem like some kind of consumer protection would be good, though. Like maybe regulators can deliver it, but sure does look like consumers lose their shirts a bunch. Agreed on both. It would be good, but regulators can't do it. And you couldn't do it, and CZ sure isn't doing it, so who? They can't actually distinguish between good and bad. Just do more business versus do less business, and put up more moats versus put up fewer moats. No one will, but you want to know the truth? No one's doing it in the rest of finance either. Ah, that is correct. SBF is correct here. When this happens in the regular finance sector, you literally have government saying, okay, how much do you owe? All right, I'll write you a blank check. Or I'll write you a check and you pay me back when you can. So we've seen that kind of situation, companies totally crumbling. And the thing is, when this happens in the normie financial system, governments just wash it away. Or for that matters, other areas that are regulated. The FDA isn't helping. The giant crackdown on big tech has no point or goal or philosophy behind it. OFAC is slowly undermining US interests globally and is the single biggest threat to the US being a superpower. ESG has been perverted beyond recognition. Oh, interesting. Environment, social, and governance. So SBF, who has been an advocate of efficient charity, here recognizes that the ESG system, which rates corporations for their basically their charitable status, is perverted beyond recognition. Very interesting. But why do we get to know this only when you're down, SBF? Why do we get the bullshit SBF 3 weeks ago? Like you were basically a stakeholder in that bullshit that you knew was bullshit. This is your problem, SBF. You take part in systems of oppression, exploitation, and fraud without knowing it because you obfuscate it from your brain. But deep down, you know it. Deep down, you knew that ESG has been perverted beyond recognition years ago. You knew that 6 months ago. You knew that 1 year ago. You knew that throughout your entire deception of the American people and the people of the world who have trusted you with their fund. I'm sort of putting together a picture where you don't believe anyone is doing anything for good reasons. You don't believe the good guys are good. So why not make it big and then be the one who gets to decide what good is? And if you have to do sketchy stuff along the way, everyone else is doing it too. And plenty of them are worse, and people still like them as long as they win. Is that fair? That was the question of the journalist. SBF says, what we're left with is, at the end of the day, only the rich can invest. Invest, I presume. Only they can make or lose money. Huh, there's some truth to it, but it's also true that I didn't want to do sketchy stuff. There are huge negative effects from it, and I didn't mean to. Each individual decision seemed fine, and I didn't realize how big their sum was until the end. Very interesting. You know, the suggestion by the journalist of, hey, everyone is doing evil, so I'm just going to do sketchy stuff, but I'm going to do better than them, and then I'm going to make the system right. Any suggestion of that kind, any sane individual would answer, are you crazy? No, this is not what I'm doing. But SBF, amazingly, SBF's response to it is, there is some truth to it. Very interesting. If you were to read that statement to me, I would be like, there is absolutely zero truth to this. I mean, if I want to work in the financial sector, or even in my sector, the media. So, in my sector, the media, if you were to suggest JF, you know, most of the media is bad, but to get big in media, you need to lie a little bit. So you're going to lie a little bit, right? Right, JF? You're gonna fool your audience a little bit on this and that. I would be like, no, there is no truth to this at all. Zero. I want to do one thing well. It is to do a truthful show. But SBF, a financial magnate, is like, oh yeah, there's some truth to this. You know, I wanted to be the bigger evil and then do some good with it. Wow. That is not a man to be trusted in any form. Each individual decision seemed fine, and I didn't realize. So he's saying there is some truth to it. I could want to do some sketchy stuff to do better with it, but I didn't do this in this case. In this case, I truly didn't know I was doing sketchy stuff. That is the immense Rhea. I guess we have to label this because I've never seen this as obvious as it. I think it deserves an etiquette. I think that what SBF is doing is the thin mens rea defense when it's all you get. Well, I did all these things, but I felt like an automaton. Somehow my genes, my brain took over. I don't know what happened. I blacked out. And I did all these things, but I wasn't realizing I was doing these things. Bro, it is so obvious that even I, who's not a financial guy, I would know when a transfer would happen between me and Mama JF. I would know that. I would feel instinctively, is there something criminal about it? No. But if Mama JF was a director of Alameda Research, and I was a financial guy and sending money to Mama JF, I wouldn't know what's honest. I wouldn't know what's dishonest. I wouldn't know what's a lie to my audience. I wouldn't know what's not a lie. I wouldn't know if potentially I could get in trouble. I wouldn't know if there's some risk that she takes and she loses my money. And all of this is pretty obvious. It's just basic human cognition. But he doesn't seem to have the same type of cognition as me. And this is what I've been saying for years. I believe that there's just people who have wicked, dysfunctional brain networks. Dysfunctional in a society where morality is to be expected, but not dysfunctional for their own good, because they can build empires out of these psychopathic capacities for decision making. Crazy Catman says JF is the beginning of the return of the black shirts. Hail victory. Wow, you are enthusiastic about it. I totally think that black shirts should come back. I was shocked that I was having difficulty finding black or gray shirts. Apparently, like, who is wearing those white shirts? Are there really people wearing them? DK Shadow says, we've seen plenty of them during the Kraut NT affair. Yes, these cognitive biases, inability to interact sometimes with reality, sometimes with just like what I would call a Western moral sense. It's quite evident to me that there's a difference here. White is back on the channel. I've not had super chats from him for a week, so I was wondering where he was. And he did ask me two questions, which I haven't answered yet. However, I hope that White, you have seen the show about a week ago. About a week ago, I sent you a Discord DM, and I didn't give a full answer to your ancestry question, but I gave you the maths that I'm doing right now to get to an answer. It's actually pretty hard. I'm bumping on difficulties. I have to integrate my calculations across generations. It is getting very hard, but I'm getting slowly to an answer. But if you want a pre-answer, go watch the show of about a week ago when the day I sent you a Discord DM. He sends $101. Thank you so much. He says, "Hey Jeff, I left for a week and came back, and now your bodies disappeared into darkness. Too bad you can't get another gray shirt. You know what would be good for a replacement to it? Anything other than a black shirt." I'm gonna have to stick with the black shirt because I can either wear a black shirt or a gray shirt. The gray shirts have not been available in my area. So, and I've tried internet orders. They canceled my order. They said, "Jeff, we accepted this order yesterday, but we realized we don't have those shirts anymore." So it's really hard to get gray shirts these days. And sorry about this. You're going to have to deal with the lack of contrast. Maybe I can change my camera settings to get you more visibility, because I recognize that it creates a bizarre effect of contrast. I was thinking of maybe changing the buttons because they do come out flashing a lot. It's not ideal, but it's what I could find for now. I will keep shopping, and maybe the gray shirts will come back one day. Spindly Opinion says, "I think the black shirt looks spiffing." Spiffing. What is the meaning of this word? I have to Google it. Spiffing. They mean that it is very good. Okay, it's British and formal, old-fashioned. I'm spiffing. Aquanote says, "JF, the lack of contrast kind of looks surreal and cool, though. Yeah, like I'm a moving entity. It's not really clear what I do with my arms. Why Republican control of the House is significant for the GOP agenda." So we have Republican control of the House. That should keep... It's a good thing, but it's also a very deceptive state, because it's going to keep some things like abortion legislation are not going to pass. Any sort of abortion thing probably not going to pass, unless they're very tame, very centrist. So it's a good thing on this, but it's a bad thing because it's a deceptive state. We haven't won anything. The right wing hasn't won. The elites are still controlling politics. They will get money to Ukraine as much as they want, even with a Republican majority, because there's going to be enough traitors within the Republican Party. So we're not very advanced. White has sent $51. Thank you so much. He says, "JF, yesterday people offered you money for your shirt. How much would I have to give you to make you keep your gray shirt and give it to your progeny in 20 years? Also, I've watched every episode that I wasn't here for." Well, I don't think I would ask an amount from you, White, because you have been so generous. If you tell me, look, you are a good customer of this show, you are keeping this show alive on your shoulders, White, along with some great donors who are also are very generous, like Jan. So if you tell me, "JF, I want you to keep your shirt and give it to your progeny in 20 years, I will do it. I will do it without asking any more from you, because you have been so generous, I would feel that I'm stealing from you. So I'm happy to do it. I will. It's right there in my wardrobe, and it's not like my wardrobe is as a lack of space. Like, and even my wardrobe is occupied by Mama JF stuff at 75%. My wardrobe is like a line like this of possible things that I may have to wear in very special circumstances. Philosoraptor says JF should dress in green and have a green screen behind. Imagine the fun to be had. Green screens are so annoying to me, but yeah, it would be fun if my body was... It would be like an invisibility cloak, really. It would be like an invisibility cloak. That would be fun indeed, but generally I hate green screening. I hate when the streamers do it cheap. You have to have good, very good resolution and very good lighting work if you want to make green screening realistic. And you need post-processing most of the time. So we can't do a good green screening live. White sends $31. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, I want you to keep your shirt and give it to your progeny in 20 years. Well, I'll be happy to do this. I don't know what my progeny will do with it. It's kind of just a shirt, you know, but maybe they will like it. I mean, I'm keeping the hats from my grandfather, and no matter how much Mama JF is asking me, JF, do you want to throw these to the trash? No, they're from my grandfather. I'm keeping them. I love passing on history and keeping the traces of what led to your existence. Donald Trump, as I was announcing at the beginning of the show, Donald Trump announces 2024 re-election run for president. Former President Donald Trump announced this third presidential bid 1 week after the midterm elections. The themes that he touched upon are very normie tier. I don't feel the same enthusiasm as 2015. I don't feel it at all. Maybe he can reawaken it, but it's going to be so hard to start, and I don't think it's going to be a game changer. We all know what to expect, and it's not that impressive. It is business as usual if Trump takes back America. Okay, we might have a little more drilling, we might see a little drop in prices of gas. But at this point, I've already adapted to Democrat inflation, so it's like not super interesting. We're not going to get a fundamental change of politics with Trump. Mike Pence doubts Trump will win 2024 Republican nomination. Americans want a new style of leadership. Mike Pence thinks that Trump is too extreme. I don't know that there's much future in the Republican Party for betrayers, and Mike Pence is exactly this. Now, I wish that Mike Pence is right and that we move on from Trump, but at the same time, he's right for the wrong reasons. What Mike Pence means is he wants to take over the Republican Party with more centrist, political elite type of stuff. So for him, Trump is too Trumpy. And for me, Trump is not Trumpy enough. Silver Spider says, if Trump gets in, JF will be able to buy two shirts. It's true that Trump has been good for business. So you can't deny this, Trump. Trump has favored the rise of many internet phenomenons. Philosoraptor says, Jeff, do you think the normies in Quebec can tolerate more vaccine mandates and lockdowns this winter season? Well, there's a subpopulation of normies that will keep taking the vaccine no matter how many refreshments how many booster rounds you give them. So certainly there's a part of the population that can, and there's people voluntarily wearing masks right now. So these people, whether you put the lockdown or not, they're going to follow it. Now, I don't think that there will be more lockdowns and vaccine mandates. I think that this is over. I think that the politicians have backed out. They've realized the damage that they were causing. They've realized it was unsustainable. So I'd be very surprised if they were coming back at it within the next year. Now, they will come back at it in 10 years from now, maybe. when some other moral panic shows up, but not now. Biden says it is unlikely that a missile that hit Poland was fired from Russia. This is fascinating because yesterday at the end of the show, someone sent me this question about this, and I didn't know anything about it, but there were some early accusations against Russia, and I was like, I'm going to wait. And as we wait, what do we find out? Well, the missiles that landed in Poland and killed, I believe, one or two farmers, random people who were not involved in the war, but got killed by the missiles. Those missiles were from Ukraine. Now, it's fascinating to see the double standard of the media, because if they cover it as a missile from Russia, it's like, oh, trigger Article 5, NATO is under attack. See, invoke Article 5. A missile just struck Poland, killing two. Will Poland invoke NATO Article 5? NATO meeting today. Article 4 and 5 explained amid explosion in Poland. Could Poland demand NATO act in event of Russian attack? An expert explains Article 4 and 5 commitments following missile blast. The Pentagon says the U.S. would defend every inch of NATO territory after reports that Russian missiles killed two people in Poland. That was a mediatic psyop, and it was pushed for the purpose of trying to get NATO involved on the side of Ukraine even more than they currently are. And it seems like a psyop. When there's a psyop, you have to ask yourself who's benefiting from it. It seems like this is a psyop that would be highly motivated from Ukraine, that Ukraine would want, because you don't imagine the US wanting to force itself into the war, because they could just decide to get into the war more if they wanted. But Ukraine is highly motivated at finding excuses to get Europe, to get America involved, which is why they crap out all this press about potential nuclear disaster, which never happened and never were likely, and all this press around these missiles because, oh my God, NATO has been bombarded. And so that would justify a NATO intervention. But of course, the US was faced with the fact that this was so poorly made that they had to acknowledge publicly that this is from Ukraine. So now suddenly, when Russia... So in all cases, that would be an accidental missile. If Russia had touched some farmers on the border of Poland, that would be an accident. If Ukraine touched some farmers on the border of Poland, that would be an accident too. But the media treats these two questions totally separately. On Russia being the potential instigator, they do not explore the possibility that it could be an accident. Now, explain to me exactly why would Russia want to target two farmers in Poland? What's the strategic advantage here? But when it's Ukraine, it's an unfortunate accident. Russia-Ukraine war live, missile strike that killed two in Poland, likely an accident from Ukrainian air defense. Poland's president says that missile blast that killed two appears to be an unfortunate accident, not an intentional attack. Poland says missile blast likely unfortunate accident. Justin, Poland calls missile attacks an unfortunate accident and not an intentional attack. The media machine is disgusting. You guys have no principles. Start offering the benefit of the doubt to your enemy, or else we will see you for the liars that you are. Associated Press issues correction to its fake report, which could have kicked off World War III. Correction in the Russia-Ukraine war story by Associated Press. In earlier versions of a story published November 15, the Associated Press reported erroneously based on information from a senior American intelligence official who spoke on condition of anonymity, that Russian missiles had crossed into Poland and killed two people. Subsequent reporting showed that the missiles were Russian-made and most likely fired by Ukraine in defense against a Russian attack. So suddenly, since it's Ukraine, they benefit from all of the benefits of the doubt. Oh, it was just an accident, and it was as part of a defense against an aggressor. You have to understand. The thing is, in a war, the two sides are aggressors against each other. So if you want to extend this benefit of the doubt to Ukraine, you should definitely extend it to Russia too. It's possible for Russia to make errors. It's possible that in the heat of the action, they end up miscontrolling their stuff. But as it turns out, it wasn't Russia, it was Ukraine. Ukrainian missile landed in Poland, but ultimate blame still on Russia. Now that's the new reframing from the White House. At this point, they're like, the first stories in the media were, it's Russia. The second layer of stories was, oh, well, it's Ukraine. And now the White House is saying, well, it's Ukraine, but it's Russia. So the White House point is like, well, it's Ukraine, but the reason they have to send missiles and the reason this accident did happen from Ukraine is because they have to defend against Russia. And so suddenly you are blameless because you are acting in defense. People are investigating the phenomenon of this woman, the girlfriend of SBF, and her Tumblr post. Her Tumblr post was... Her nickname is World Optimization. Are you fucking kidding me? Please stop optimizing, Caroline. Stop the optimization. It's not going well. She says, when I first started my foray into poly, which is polyamory, or polygamy, I guess, I thought of it as a radical break from my trad past. But to be honest, I've come to decide the only acceptable style of poly is best characterized as something like Imperial Chinese harem. None of this non-hierarchical bullshit. Everyone should have a ranking of their partners. People should know where they fall on the ranking, and there should be vicious power struggles for the higher ranks. Hashtag personal, hashtag crypto, social conservative blogging. These people can't help but to mislabel their stuff in a way that allows them to be falsely identified as part of groups that they're not part of. Caroline, this is not a social conservative post. This is not even a conservative post. This is a degenerate, far leftist sexual post. She labels this as hashtag crypto social conservative blogging. And her position is that polyamory is cool if you have domination games within the circle of polyamory. Unbelievable. She was handling billions of dollars. Musk to employees, commit to hardcore Twitter vision or take 3 months severance and leave. Absolutely beautiful. Elon Musk has created a little portal for his employees and they have to click I agree. And he tells them, look, if you are sure that you want to be part of the new Twitter, please click yes on the link below. But he explains, in the new Twitter, you will do over hours, where supplementary work hours. You will stay up late. You will be obsessed by the work. And he says this will mean long working hours at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade. So he's offering to the Twitter employees right now, leave if you want. If you still want to leave, I'm going to give you 3 months' pay. but it's time to leave if you're not into this level of work. Bitcoin slides after Genesis suspends withdrawals from the crypto lending business. So Genesis had some crypto lending business. I don't know anything about it. Somehow everything that's falling, I don't know anything about it. And that leads me to identify the issue here. I think there's a normie crypto that has developed parallel to real crypto. And I think that probably real crypto was kept by censorship and selective advertisement, was kept from warning the normies. Because I've never heard of these things. I've never heard of these things even being a thing. And I've been in crypto since 2013. This is the ultimate damage created by censorship and by social media platform being purchasable by these giants like SBF. It's a big problem. New York Times destroyed for puff piece on Sam Bankman-Fried, the FTX CEO, Democrat donor, billionaire thief. So New York Times had tweeted their piece, and it's about, oh, we got an interview with SBF. And Alex Kruger was saying, disgraceful reporting by the New York Times. It portrays SBF as a charitable entrepreneur who went under and does not mention the words fraud, criminal, substance abuse, friends and family, Bahamas, KYC, racket, hack, stolen funds, or wiped servers anywhere. Yes, if you don't talk about these issues, you are beside the track. And according to Zero Hedge, Bankman-Fried is saying that he made an $8 billion mistake. His statement on Twitter today. Once upon a time, a month ago, FTX was a valuable enterprise. FTX had 10 to 15 billion of daily volume and roughly 1 billion of annual revenue, 40 billion worth of equity value. And we were held as paragons of running an effective company. I was on the cover of every magazine, and FTX was the darling of Silicon Valley. We got overconfident and careless, and problems were brewing, larger than I realized. Again, these numbers are approximate to the best of my knowledge, etc. Leverage built up. $5 billion worth of leverage, backed by $20 billion of assets, which were, well, they had value. FTT had value in EV, but they had risk. And that risk was correlated with the other collateral and with the platform. And then the crash came. In a few day period, there was a historic crash, over 50% in most correlated assets, with no bid side liquidity. And at the same time, there was a run on the bank. Roughly 25% of customer assets were withdrawn each day, about $4 billion. As it turned out, I was wrong. Leverage wasn't about $5 billion. It was about $13 billion. $13 billion leverage, total run on the bank, total collapse in asset value, all at once. Which is why you don't want that leverage. 24 Sharpnell. I wouldn't pay too much attention to this technical rendering, because I think it hides so much of the incompetence and the evil here that I don't think it's a fair representation. Like, there's no comment. And what we've heard there, we don't have an explanation of what happened with the money you sent to Alameda Research, what happened with the hack, what happened with your relationship with your girlfriend, what happened with insider trading. So all of it is an accountant's rendering of what happened, but it doesn't give us insight into the wrongdoings. It's crap. I would ignore what he just said. Aquanote says, JF, how can these media outlets not be held culpable? Because ultimately, if it's a problem of liquidity and leverage, ultimately, these issues, these criminal issues with your handling of FTX, have been revealed by a bank run. but they were criminal issues to begin with. They just got revealed when you got short on cash. But they were there. You were taking that money. Aquanaut says, JF, how can these media outlets not be held culpable, running cover for crimes which coincidentally benefit the objectives they themselves promote? Because ultimately media are low... Media are low-grade prostitutes of the system. A media, you have to understand, there's so little money to be made in just running media from a outlet perspective, I mean, with the audience, because the audience expects free stuff, and rightfully so. I think it should get free stuff. But then you have the problem that if there's no money to be made on the audience, the audience contribution will always be minimal to any media entity except me, except people like me, who basically rely mostly and almost solely on audience contributions. They have to have an alternative business model. And the alternative business model that is dominant in the media industry is we're going to control what you say. And normally, when someone has to pay to control what you think, the audience, it's probably not super clean. You know, there's maybe it's just McDo wanting to convince you to buy a Big Mac. And in this case, they buy publicity. But most of the deals in the back doors, most of the deal behind the scenes will have some dirty component to it. It will be to push for a political party, and ultimately that political party will have been corrupted for a given purpose. So that's why the media is always dirty and never gets into trouble. It's because it's the business. The business of the media, as it is when it is not funded by you guys, is to propagandize to you guys. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried hit with class action lawsuits that also names Tom Brady, Bunshen, Shaq, Curry. So lots of celebrities that have been around FTX. They are getting included in the lawsuit here. The celebrity names are listed. Wow, it even includes the depressive black tennis woman, Naomi Osaka. Is that her name? Is that who she is? I think it's the depressive tennis woman. Anyways, yeah, so there will be a case. I'm very happy about it. I hope that there's some justice that can emerge from this lawsuit. so many news items. Wisconsin teacher sues school district after being fired for speaking out against gender identity. I was confused because speaking out against gender identity, so she made anti-LGBT statements, but then I look at the picture and it's like, oh, so a woman who looks like this makes anti-LGBT statement? That is weird. But then I read and I realize what she said is fuck transgenderism. So she's basically one of those lesbian... I suppose that she's one of those lesbians who loves women so much that she takes offense at the idea that someone could be transsexual, someone could change their gender. So she ended up making an anti-trans comment. But yeah, TERFs, that is what they are called. Trans-exclusionary feminist. I was confused. I was like, why is a girl dressed like this making anti-LGBT statement? Ah, she's making only anti-T statement, not anti-LGBT. Okay. NBC News advises parents to keep kids away from unvaccinated individuals. Unbelievable. Tips for protecting your kids? Avoid physical interaction with unvaccinated individuals. This is false. This is false even by the standard of Fauci leftist science. Because we have been told and they have confirmed that the vaccine does not stop transmission. And we have even seen evidence that the vaccine might favor transmission 3 months down the line. So there may be a negative vaccine effectiveness. So here we have NBC News calling for discrimination, like keep your kids away from unvaccinated individuals, but absolutely contrary to even the stated science by the CDC. Is there someone willing to sue NBC News? Because that's NBC News calling for your discrimination as an unvaccinated and doing it on absolutely no factual basis. Organized crime, looters, steal, astounding $400 million in goods from Target stores. I mean, Target is like the place to go. I've understood this. I'm not part of a criminal network that does target stealing or whatever. But I've been watching the videos on Gab. Half of the time it's a Target. 25% of the time it's an AutoZone. And 25% of the time it's something else. Target has been targeted. It's becoming obvious that Target, I don't know why, it is a target for crime. And the videos that I see, it's like the majority of the videos, they attack a target. So there's something wrong with the target business model. Maybe having big screen TVs like this at the entry and then having another section for grocery, maybe what it allows is poor people get to your place, and so they get to your place to buy cheap groceries, but then they get to see, oh, there's a TV there. Whereas Costco, you know, there is a filter at the entrance. You don't enter the Costco if you're not somewhat rich enough to pay the Costco membership. But the problem of Target is you end up having people who go there for their groceries, probably see all of the electronics that they can't afford, and it leads it to be a highly desirable place where the electronics are readily accessible. I'm trying to construct here a cognitive narrative. I have no particular insight in the psychology of criminality. Aquanote says, JF, Target is selected for crime because it's socially understood that white people go to Target instead of Walmart to avoid minorities. This is probably why it's chosen for these incursions. Really? Is that what's happening? Because I have never had the impression going to Target in the US, I've never had the impression that I was going to a white people place. Never. But maybe it is. Maybe that's how people perceive it. Personally, I'm much more happy at a Walmart than at a Target, because Target doesn't quite get up there in terms of prices. Walmart is worse and worse along the years, but they've been extremely good at prices 5 years ago. And still, as of today, they kind of compete. Feds had informants in Proud Boys and Oath Keepers for January 6th. No, you don't say. How is this a news? Holy shit. Yeah, that was pretty obvious. And as a last news item, people are excited about this hacker. I didn't know about him at all. Apparently, he's a hacker who's been hacking iPhones, tethering the iPhones, firmware, PS3, and he's also been designing a kind of, before Tesla did it, he's designed a self-driving car that was equivalent to what Tesla was developing. This hacker, George Hutz, showed some enthusiasm about Twitter, and Elon Musk answered to him, "Sure, let's talk." He said, "This is the attitude that builds incredible things. Let all the people who don't desire greatness leave. I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'm down for a 12-week internship at Twitter for cost of living in San Francisco. It's not about accumulating capital in a dead world. It's about making the world alive. And Elon Musk says, sure, let's talk. So apparently, this hacker will be part of the Twitter team for 12 weeks. That would be very encouraging. Perhaps he can, you know, push the Twitter programmers to a different mentality rather than the privileged and kind of everything is owed to me type of mentality. That would be a general good thing if it happens. All right, last news item, Germany preparing for emergency cash deliveries, bank runs, aggressive discounting ahead of winter power cuts. Make sure you have everything you need to survive the winter. It's getting very cold here for me and Mama JF. Lots of snow, lots of ice falling. But it's beautiful. We have everything we need and we have our logs. We are burning wood. We are keeping the whole house warm with our wood stove right now because the diesel fuel is too costly. So we are doing good. Make sure you are prepared for winter. It will come for you too. Bye-bye, everyone. Much love. Thank you all for the support through Super Chats. And don't forget that tomorrow is our private Patreon Subscribestar Hangout. Make sure you join the Subscribestar if you want to be part of it. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.